What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The U.S. tracks a Chinese spy balloon over American airspace. Plus, we'll survey the next frontier for military drones on the high seas and look at why big tech earnings didn't quite clear the bar.
These are companies that combined are making like more than $1 trillion in revenue a year. And so at that size, you just can't escape the weight of the economy.
It's Friday, February 3rd. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. And here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The United States has tracked what officials describe as a Chinese reconnaissance balloon over the continental U.S. this week, in what would be an aggressive act of intelligence gathering over sensitive national security sites. China declined to confirm whether it sent a spy balloon over the U.S., but said it wanted to handle the allegation calmly with Washington. A Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman said that local officials were still collecting information about the allegation. U.S. officials said the balloon was first spotted Wednesday by civilians in a commercial airliner. Two Air Force fighters scrambled from Nevada to Montana, where the balloon was observed, before the administration decided not to shoot it down. One U.S. official said the balloon will remain over the U.S. for potentially a few more days, but didn't specify its current location. The balloon sighting comes just days before U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is scheduled to visit Beijing, according to U.S. officials, throwing into question efforts to repair relations between the two powers. Activist investor Nelson Peltz has escalated his criticism of Walt Disney's board, advocating for the removal of its director and criticizing the pay of executives like CEO Bob Iger. Peltz's Trian Management Fund said in a letter Thursday that Disney's board was responsible for recent share price declines and other destruction of value, citing a failure to plan properly for a CEO succession and to align management and board incentives with those of shareholders. Disney said on Thursday that it didn't support either Peltz or his son joining its board, and a spokesperson noted the company's more than 550% shareholder return under Iger's tenure as CEO. In more activist investor news, Ryan Cohen is amassing a stake in upscale department store chain Nordstrom. That is according to people familiar with the matter who say that Cohen intends to push for changes to Nordstrom's board following a steep share price decline. A Nordstrom spokeswoman said that the company was open to hearing Cohen's views. Europe is set to further unwind its reliance on Russian energy this weekend. On Sunday, the EU and UK will begin barring imports of Russian fuels, such as diesel and gasoline, after enacting prior bans on imports of Russian crude oil and coal. Wall Street Journal reporter Georgi Konchev has more.
This is, of course, a very important milestone after Europe was able to wean itself off of a lot of other Russian energy sources. But, of course, Europe has been dependent on Russia for decades, and there could be issues in the market. There could be some shortages of specific fuels depending on the global market, because Europe is now dependent on what's available and where, and this might create some shortages along the way.
And on deck for today, the Labor Department will release its January U.S. jobs report, and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals and health insurer Cigna are among those set to report earnings. Some of America's leading tech giants, Apple, Alphabet, and Amazon, reported their quarterly earnings after the bell yesterday. And Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street tech columnist Dan Gallagher joins us now from San Francisco to give us a rundown of what those earnings tell us. Hey, Dan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
All right, let's go on a little earnings tour here. What do these top line results indicate to us?
Well, it was pretty significant. I mean, all of them had essentially a rough quarter in December. It wasn't the fourth fiscal quarter for all of them, but December quarter was notably slower for various reasons amongst the three. And the bigger picture here is that if you kind of summarize how they did at the calendar 2022, this was their slowest year in years. And these are companies that combined are making like more than $1 trillion in revenue a year. And so at that size, you just can't escape the weight of the economy.
What specifically was at the core of those, shall we say, disappointing results?
Well, the thing that they all have in common is that they all saw their businesses really get a lift from the pandemic. For like companies like Google and Facebook, obviously, we're home on more, online more, clicking on ads. They saw a burst there. And we were ordering stuff to come to the house. So Amazon benefited from that. The cloud businesses that Microsoft runs, that Amazon runs, and Google runs really benefited from companies sending their workers home in mass because they needed those services more. So they all benefited from the pandemic. And so in some ways, they're all witnessing a cooling down effect from that. But that cooling down is also happening as the economy has really slowed down.
Did any of these companies demonstrate a convincing strategy on how they intend to navigate current global economic circumstances?
Well, we're already seeing that with at least Google, Microsoft, Facebook, and Amazon have all done very large layoffs already. So they're working to bring their costs down. Apple doesn't have that same type of problem. I don't think we're going to see mass layoffs with Apple. But they're all preaching this gospel of like cost discipline, trying to watch the bottom line. But, you know, as big as these companies are, they don't have control over the economy. They obviously have to deal with what is in front of them. And I think for in a lot of ways, we don't have a lot of clarity on where that's going to go. Because another unique factor, especially with the companies that reported just now, Apple and Google don't give projections at all. Amazon's projection kind of showed that business was still going to be weak in the March quarter.
That was Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street tech columnist Dan Gallagher in San Francisco. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, we'll take an inside look at what could be the future of military drone technology, and it's not in the skies. That story after the break.
You're a growing business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
There has been a lot of talk lately about aerial drones, but some defense experts believe that drone boats are on the cusp of a revolution. They are commonly called unmanned surface vehicles, or USVs, and the U.S. Navy has been pairing them with artificial intelligence to detect threats from seabed to space. So how exactly does that work? Wall Street Journal video reporter Shelby Holliday traveled to the Middle East to find out.
We're out here in the Persian Gulf with the U.S. Navy, and there are drone boats all around me.
Off the coast of Bahrain, a Navy team known as Task Force 59 has created a testbed for some of the latest and greatest commercially made marine drones. To see them operating in the water, we hopped into a small inflatable boat and zipped around on what I would describe as a drone safari.
So this is the Triton, and it is both a surface vessel and an underwater vessel. This little guy is a Sea Track. It's a very cute little boat. And you can see on top of it, it has solar panels. So it's designed to stay out to sea for months on end. All right, so this is the Arabian Fox. On top of it, you see a box. Inside that box is actually an aerial drone. And so the concept for a lot of these drones is to be used together so that they can extend the eyes and ears that the US Navy has in the ocean.
The drones out here aren't armed. Instead, they're loaded with cameras, radar, and all kinds of other sensors to gather information out at sea. It's a concept that Vice Admiral Brad Cooper, commander of U.S. Naval Forces in the Middle East, calls the digital ocean.
that allows us to see further than we've been able to see in the past. You couple that with artificial intelligence, and you now give yourself the opportunity in a very large theater to detect things that a human couldn't detect, and then bring that information back into a command center so that a human can make a decision.
Captain Michael Brasser, Commodore of Task Force 59, showed us how the Navy and its AI partners translate all of the information coming in from the drones and map it out on one big screen to get a visual of what's happening on the water. It almost looks like a video game.
Especially in the maritime, this is a 3D problem, right?
Yeah.
So below the water, on the water, above the water.
By collecting millions of data points coming in from the drones, the AI tools are able to learn normal patterns of life in the ocean so that they can recognize when things are off.
The end state is an understanding of the environment so rich, so deep, that we're entering the predictive space, that we're anticipating things to happen so we can prevent them from happening.
The Navy says this technology will soon be rolled out to other hotspots, including the Pacific and Central and South America. And in the Middle East, new task forces in the Army and the Air Force are working alongside Task Force 59 using drones on the ground and in the air, creating a digital world that other nations are now racing to catch up with.
Well, right now we're on the leading edge of it, and our goal is to stay on the leading edge.
For The Wall Street Journal, I'm Shelby Holliday.
And Shelby joins us now from our New York studio with more. Shelby, that was a great report, and I was hoping you could build on it a bit by just telling us a little more about how this technology may end up being rolled out.
So the drones extend the eyes and ears out in the water, but what the AI does, as one official put it, is pick a needle out of a haystack. So that could be a fishing vessel that's gone dark. It could be a big tanker that plans to do an illicit oil transfer. You can imagine all of the scenarios in which you would want to know what something is doing out on the water. When we were in that control center, actually, we could see the AI tools recognize what was coming across a drone's camera. There would be a little red box flashing, and it would say tanker with 80% certainty. So the AI tools don't just recognize what's passing in front of a drone, but they can also recognize if that boat has a signal, if it's gone dark, how fast it's going, where it's going, if it's transiting waters historically known for smuggling. It picks up on those abnormal patterns and flashes them to the Navy. We've seen in the past year a number of examples of why this sort of surveillance and technology is important, whether it is protecting the Nord Stream pipeline or critical energy infrastructure, whether it's protecting internet cables that run along the seabed and connect Taiwan to the rest of the world, or whether it's enforcing sanctions against Russia. You can just imagine the possibilities. They are quite endless when it comes to protecting things, proactively monitoring things, and then also deterring bad actors.
A world of possibilities, though, from what you just said. It mostly sounds like defensive applications are what we're talking about, for now at least. Is it possible, though, these drones could have the opposite effect and maybe increase the risk of conflict?
It's a complicated answer. The short answer is yes, and we've already seen confrontations happen out on the water. Back in August, Iran actually tried to seize some of the drones that the U.S. is using in the Middle East. It created a very tense situation. They ended up giving the drones back after the Navy approached. But even situations like that can heighten the possibility for conflict. The more complicated answer is that the U.S. says it does not plan to arm these commercially made drones anytime soon. Also, the U.S. recognizes that its partners in the Middle East may not be comfortable with the U.S. floating armed boats all over the ocean. So what the U.S. says is it's very focused on domain awareness, understanding what's happening out on the water, and any plans to arm these commercially made boats would likely trigger rigorous debate in Congress and debate among our allies as well. It doesn't seem like it will happen anytime soon.
We have now spoken a lot about the American use of this technology, but what do we know about who else is working on systems like this and what the industry outlook is here?
Right. So let me take that in two parts. I'll start with the geopolitics. A number of countries are trying to rapidly develop and integrate these unmanned surface vessels, whether it's our allies or our adversaries. Integrating the AI is a bit more complicated. China has a lot of efforts to integrate AI with its naval fleet. We saw Turkish officials boast about a fleet of unmanned surface vessels that can swarm on their own. Russia has talked a bit about using autonomous submarines that use AI to attack targets. So integrating AI with these naval vessels is definitely something you'll see more and more of. But on the industry side of things, the companies that we talked to in Bahrain have all said that this is a space that is just absolutely booming at this moment. There are a lot of players in this space, too. It's not just a few defense companies. There are a lot of really innovative companies in the U.S. and abroad that are creating these unmanned surface vessels. So one of the companies actually sent us a chart that shows the growth of unmanned surface vessels looks a lot like the growth of unmanned aerial vehicles did 20 years ago. And they believe the trajectory is going to be very similar.
That was Wall Street Journal video reporter Shelby Holliday. Shelby, thank you so much for bringing us this story.
Thanks so much for having me.
And if you would like to see the drone boats that we have been talking about in action, check out Shelby's full video report, which is on her Wall Street Journal YouTube channel. It's Shelby Holliday, WSJ, and that's Holliday with two L's. And that's What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.